Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and this segment brought to us by our friends at Straight Talk Wireless. Full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So our guest today, Ramona Shelburne, will join us in 20 minutes. She will join us in 20 minutes. Dave McMiniman at 10:40 and DeMarco Farr at 11:30. Ramona will join us because we did it. We did it. Yes, you did it. We did it. Everybody did it. You will have Dodger games whenever baseball's back on DirecTV. I don't know when baseball will be back, but I know you will have Dodger games on DirecTV whenever the hell baseball does come back, whenever the hell sports does come back. So at least that is a silver lining in this turd of a month that we've had here basically in the world. That is a silver lining. That is good news. Ramona tweeted this out. I was like, is she hacked? Is it real? She wrote a bit of good news, not an April Fool's Day joke. A deal's been reached for DirecTV to carry the Dodger station, Sportsnet LA. It's already broadcasting on Channel 690 this morning. I immediately went to Channel 690. I was watching SportsCenter when she tweeted that out on ESPN, which is Channel 206 on your DirecTV. And I flipped over and there it was, something that was the Dodgers. It was Julio Urias. They were talking about him and they were showing him pitching and I was excited just to see it, and know that it's there and I have it and it's ready for me and ready for you whenever we need it. And now corporate Greg, his alter ego Dodger boy, no longer has to go through, other means, let's just call them, to potentially watch his beloved Dodgers. Dodger boy, forget corporate Greg for a second. Dodger boy has to be very excited this morning.
Oh, this is fantastic news. This is what, like 5-7 years in the making that we're not being able to watch the Dodgers? This is such good news, especially April all of a sudden starts off fantastic. March sucked. There was nothing awful good about March at all. Yes. And now April 1st, and we're like, hey, good news. I love it. I love it. And also, like, there's a guy on Twitter, and every single thing that I've ever written about Dodgers has always been like, well, it doesn't matter. They're not on, I can't see them on TV, so they're cursed. It doesn't matter. Over and over again. And now he tweets me saying, no more jinx. So you got a happy guy, which makes me happy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very exciting. I'm excited. Everyone should be excited. It's hilarious. In a way that we were literally talking about this 2 days ago, right? We had the Trevor Bauer audio with Mina Kimes on the ESPN Daily podcast where he was saying if indeed baseball comes back, they should just get rid of blackout restrictions. They should just allow everyone in LA to watch the Dodgers. And Toronto was dealing with something very similar with the Blue Jays. So here we are. I mean, look, now who doesn't have the Dodgers? I guess Cox, right? If you have Cox, you can't get the Dodgers still. Like, but DirecTV, there's a lot of people in Southern California who have DirecTV.
I think that's the biggest thing, is it's DirecTV. That's the only one that really, I mean, the other ones will eventually fall in line, I would assume, because once that happens, it all kind of goes through. But this is, oh my God, it just makes such a big deal for the entire city. I'm so happy that this is something that happened today. You wake up with a much better feeling inside you, you know? And who do we thank? Do we thank you or do we thank Mina?
I mean, you probably should thank me because I've been talking about this for a long time. I think that we as a station, okay? I mean, maybe more specifically as a show, because we literally were talking about it 2 days ago. And we've been talking about this and railing about this. At least I have. I got here 4 years ago and was stunned that I couldn't watch the Dodgers. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, are you serious? Like, this can't be a real thing. So I don't know what I just did, but, I said, are you serious? And my Siri just went off. I was like, what just happened to my phone? So I'm just glad it's happened. And by the way, if you're listening on the app, on the ESPN app, and you're from Las Vegas or you're from Hawaii, you too now can watch the Dodgers if you're a Dodger fan, because those are areas that were blacked out too, unless you had Spectrum in those areas.
Yeah, I'm just reading something from Ramona right now. She's saying that there's been so many mergers and acquisitions in the cable industry, it's hard to do blow by blow on the 6-year battle over the Dodger station. But in layman's terms, AT&T owns so much now and is launching AT&T TV, so they wanted to get the best programming on air.
Yeah, of course. They got to. They own DirecTV. They own UVerse. They own a million things. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So, well, tell Ramona not to give away too much information, because we're bringing her on in 15 minutes. Like, let's slow down a little bit. Yeah.
She's in the breaking news business is what she does.
No, I get it. But, you know, tell her to slow down. Or you stop reading her for a second.
All right.
I'll leave it alone. You can't give it.
I'm just excited,
you know,
George.
You're letting people have the milk for free without buying the cow. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the hell's going on with you here? It's not a visual medium. But anyway, yes, I'm very excited. I think this is great. All we just got to do is get baseball back, which is obviously a challenge still. But I do think that it is absolutely possible. You know, look, we don't know if baseball is going to be back. We know this. I know that today Major League Baseball canceled their London series. You know, they started that last year with the Red Sox and the Yankees, and it was in June. So they canceled this year's series between the Cardinals and Cubs, which was scheduled for June 13th and June 14th in London. So that's definitely not happening. We know that the NFL is going to happen. So we have audio here of one of the EVP of Major League Baseball. And I want to make sure I get his name right. Jeff Pasch. He was on he did a conference call, I guess, with the NFL media. And he had a number of things to say. Laura, why don't you just play all three of them, since they're relatively short, back to back to back. Here's Jeff Pasch, NFL Executive Vice President and General Counsel, on a conference call with NFL media about the NFL moving forward, business as usual.
I really don't know. I think a lot of it will depend on the medical and public health situation. If the modeling is as we have been given to understand, we may not have to get very far down that road. If things take a different turn, and if there are different regulations put in place or something like that, then we'd have to address it in a more substantial way. But as I say, for the time being, we're pretty confident that we'll be able to go on schedule. We're looking at a full season. We did not discuss in either of our calls issues of shortened seasons or any changes in the structure of the season. We're planning on going forward, you know, with a regular, complete season. As I say, similar to what we played every other year. All of our discussions, all of our focus has been on a normal, traditional season, starting on time, playing in front of fans in our regular stadiums, and going through the full 16-game regular season and a full set of playoffs.
So, basically, they are going business as usual, and look, I understand their position from this extent, okay? It's April 1st. Their season doesn't start, in theory, for another 5 months. I mean, is it possible that in 5 months that we could be back to normal? I guess. I don't know. I don't think anyone truly knows, but I do think that there is a sense of naivete, I guess, at best, is probably the best way to describe it, right? Like, that's the best case scenario, that they're being naive. The other part of it is that they're just being irresponsible. Like, that's the worst case scenario, because, again, we don't know the gravity of what this will be in September, but one would hope that it won't be this grave in September, and that we'll be in a situation where we can have games. And I don't know about fans in the stadium, but at this point, I don't care if there are fans in the stadium. Like, to me, and I don't know if anyone else at this point cares. I just think that sports is so important as just an escape, that we just need that. I think it's important for the psyche of America. I think it's important, clearly, for the psyche of sports fans. And having fans would be the gravy, you know, on top of the mashed potatoes. But right now, I just need my comfort food. And the NFL and football is my comfort food. If I don't get the gravy, I'm cool with that. Like, I'm fine. Just give me something that I can watch and be distracted from all the, look, honestly, terror that we've been dealing with. And just, it's been so morbid and stressful that we just need an escape in some way, shape, or form. And again, I understand that they're trying to be as optimistic as possible, but let's not border on being irresponsible. Because even the draft, the way that they're conducting it, I've told you this before, I'm a bit conflicted about it. Yes, I want the content, but B, it's like, I don't know how responsible this is. And I know they're doing their best to, you know, look, there's no fans, there's no players and families flying to the event. Everything's going to be done via technology. I do think, though, that the teams are in a weird spot because are they going to huddle up and do their war room as they normally would? Would they be doing it at different locations? I guess it's possible, but it just feels weird considering that the draft is going to fall on a day, in theory, in this country, where or at a time where we're probably going to see the most casualties in that stretch. And I'm not the only one who feels this way. Like, I know I get painted as this negative NFL person. Look, I love football. I want to watch football as much as the next guy. I just don't always love the way they conduct their business. And Adam Schefter, who is the foremost authority on covering the NFL, was on SportsCenter last night with Scott Van Pelt and kind of echoed those sentiments. Let's hear the audio.
And we all hope that it happens, frankly. We all want that back. We all want to see the days where we have that distraction of football. But OTAs, that's not happening. Yeah. The off-season program, that's not happening. The draft is happening only through the sheer force and determination and lack of foresight from Phil, frankly. I mean, they are determined to put this on while there is carnage in the streets.
I mean, that's the best way to describe it. It is weird. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, it's like, you know, think about it this way. And I'm not trying to be a prankster or a jokester here. I'm not trying to be glib. Like, it's going to be, if you flip to the news channel, yeah, thousands of people have died, potentially, hopefully not. And then you flip to, you know, what's going on with the NFL, to Adam's point, and it's going to be like, hey, you know, the Chargers have traded up, allegedly. Or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it is a little weird, you know? So I get Adam's point. So, look, hopefully, I mean, there's nothing we can do about the draft and the timing of it. Clearly, the NFL is going to go forward with it, and it's going to be weird. It's going to be a distraction that we need, but also weird. Like, all those things are possible. Those things are not mutually exclusive. And hopefully, by the time we get to the season, you know, Jeff Pasch and Roger Goodell, the NFL folks at the top of the food chain there, are right. And we can have fans and everything is great. But I would take it even without fans. Like, just give it to me without fans. Like, just give me the games. I think, look how excited we got today about the Dodgers being on DirecTV. And we don't even have the games yet. So that just goes to show you our thirst, our passion, our love for sports. We're celebrating a TV deal and there are no games yet. And we don't know when the games are happening. So just give us the games, but do it right and let's be safe. That is the most important thing. Let's be safe. Use common sense and we'll get through this. I am 100% sure that we're going to get through this. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to get through it perfectly, but we're going to get through this because I believe in the measures of our local government here in Los Angeles. I believe in our governor and Gavin Newsom. I believe what we're doing here in California and particularly in Southern California has helped. You look at the numbers, you look at the math, you look at the projections. Southern California and California in general has blunted the curve because of social distancing, because of the measures that we took here in this state. And I know it's going to be tough and people are going to be lost. And that, look, there's no way to make that sound good, like, or better even. Like, it's awful. It's an awful situation we're dealing with, a pandemic, something that, you know, this generation has never dealt with. But you can take solace in the fact that the local leaders here have at least taken the right steps to try to ensure the safety of the masses. And I think that when you look back at what the NFL's doing, I hope to for their sake and for all our sake that they're right about starting the season on time with fans and everything being back to normal, because no one would want to see it more than me, and I'm sure you. All right, coming up next, we'll get to Ramona Shelburne. She had the big breaking news of the day. As I mentioned, the most exciting news we could have in sports today here locally in Southern California. We'll chat with her next. Stick around. Sedano, 710 ESPN, back in a couple minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Ramona Shelburne giving us the best news that we could have here. Woo, in Southern California. No games, no problem. I don't care. Just give me the channel. She's giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Momo, how you hanging in there?
I'm good. That was, that. Like, aren't you just singing that Alanis Morissette song, right?
Isn't it ironic, don't you think?
Yeah, like, we haven't had Dodger games on in the majority of L.A. homes since 2014. And now that there's no games, they're on. Isn't it ironic?
I think the funniest thing was when you tweeted it, I was like, was she hacked? Is there something going on? She says it's not an April Fool's joke, but if it was someone hacking her, that's exactly right. What they would say. So I went immediately and grabbed my remote and checked, and I'm like, yes, it is true.
That's funny, right? I was like, should I say not an April Fool's joke, or should I, you know, because if you don't say it, then people are like April Fool's, but I was like, you kind of have to be pretty mean to joke about that, right?
Yeah,
like, that would be kind of a mean prank on people to do that. But yeah, George, you know, I think what happened here is, I'm going to do a really, really fast job of summarizing all the mergers and acquisitions in the cable industry, okay?
Gotcha.
So initially, the Dodgers launched this network in 2014, and it was, they owned the network, but Time Warner Cable, which was their broadcast partner at the time, had the exclusive negotiating rights. Time Warner was like in a war with all these other cable networks, right? All these other cable streamers or providers, okay? And this was like kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, right? Like, this was, they were all like, I'm not going to carry your channel if you're not going to carry my channel, and we're not going to pay extra for this, you know, right? So there was a lot of back and forth going on. This actually did go to like the Securities and Exchange Committee. It went to the FCC, and it, you know, they found there was collusion, that all these other cable networks or providers were colluding not to put the Dodger network on to hurt Time Warner Cable, but nothing ever happened. Like, Vin Scully called his last season and nothing ever happened. The Dodgers went to two World Series and nothing ever happened. Like, it just got stuck in this morass of huge mergers and acquisitions. So AT&T bought DirecTV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Charter Cable bought Time Warner Cable, okay? But AT&T and DirecTV own Time Warner, like, the networks, okay? So they own, like, CNN and all those other stations. So what ended up happening, and I think this is, like, the simplest way to put it, is now there's just two big companies, right? It's just Charter Cable and AT&T. AT&T is launching a big thing called AT&T TV, kind of like, you know, Apple TV or whatever you want to call it, okay? And they got to get the Dodgers on. Now it's a problem for them, because they own this, and they got to have the best programming on. And they were like, why are we not carrying this again? I forget what we were fighting over before, or like some other company that we bought was fighting over this. Like, it's just gone on for so long that nobody can even really trace the blow by blow. But of course, there's strategic reasons, which is simply, okay, if AT&T wasn't carrying Spectrum Sportsnet, okay, this is a big prime offering for Charter, this is their rival, okay, if they don't cover them, then maybe Charter says, well, we're not going to carry your networks. We're not going to carry CNN, or we're not going to carry your Time Warner thing. So it was trading one old fight that nobody can remember who was fighting and for what, for to end a new fight that hadn't yet begun. Does that make sense?
Wow. Yeah, no, it makes sense. Right. Yeah, it was basically, it became super incestuous because of all the mergers.
Family feuds. Like, nobody even remembers why they were fighting and what the feud was over. It's just that they keep fighting. So now they stop fighting because there was going to be something new to fight about in the future. And they say, let's end this old thing. We don't even know why we're fighting anymore.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad they stopped fighting, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I'm glad they stopped fighting. I mean, it's good. And the other thing is this, like, as you pointed out, we've missed Vin Scully at the end. We missed, you know, World Series runs. But I do think that this team is poised, if and when baseball does come back, to be a team that is going to probably dominate the National League again. So you're going to be able, if and when baseball comes back, you're going to be able to enjoy it because you have one of the best teams in baseball. Like, I think they're going to get record number ratings. All sports, I think, will get record numbers ratings. But I think that this move will ensure that for the Dodgers.
Well, and this has really been one of the hardest things for the Dodgers overall, which is they were sort of powerless to stop it. This was a broadcast partner that they had given the negotiating rights to. Like, they... If you can fault the Dodgers for one thing, I think they kind of got too good of a deal, right? So they got the money regardless. It was a 25-year, $8.35 billion deal back in the day. And they get the money regardless, whether or not it's carried by, you know, 60% of L.A. or 20% of L.A., right? They got the money. It was like too good of a deal. And sometimes when a deal is too good, you end up getting, you know, screwed on the back end of it. And that's what happened here. And the Dodgers were as frustrated as anyone. They want, of course they want their fans to see the game, you know, and it's like but there was kind of like nothing they could do. And especially while all these $1 billion acquisitions were going through. So George, this is one thing I've been thinking about lately. Like, you know, we're all playing this game of like, when are sports coming back, right? Everyone's so desperate for that. I know I am, you are, we just miss sports. And you know, there's this forecasting game that we say, okay, well, you think it'll be May or June, you think it'll be July, you think it'll be whatever. I don't want to even do that anymore because it's like almost not helpful mentally. Mm-hmm. You know, we all just need to focus on staying safe and staying healthy and you know, keeping ourselves up as much as we can in the interim because that's, you know, that's the best way for you, you know, to just get through this, I think. But it is helpful to think that at the end of this, there will be Dodger games, right? Like, it's helpful to think, like, you know that someday this will end, right? Someday. I don't know when it is, if it's a month or a year. But someday we will have basketball again. Someday we will have baseball again. And finally, most of Los Angeles will be able to see it.
Ramona Shelburne, ESPN, NBA Insider, and today, business, Media Business Insider. There we go. We're adding that to your title today, Momo.
LA, you know, and you make calls on everything, right? So that was, look, they had the mayor quoted in that release that just came out a few minutes ago. I mean, this is like a big, giant civic story.
So. Yeah, no doubt. And it's not like he hasn't been busy.
Yeah. There was a little ad in that. It's like, although we're all focused on the coronavirus pandemic, we're super excited that this baseball deal finally got done.
So let me ask you this while I got you on the line. Wendy was on here last week, and I know he's been on SportsCenter and on his podcast talking about this, about basically playing the NBA games in an incubator city. Are you buying that as a real reality? Like, I know everything is on the table. Like, I think clearly we all know that at this point. But, like, are you buying that as a real possibility?
I actually am, George. I think, you know, just looking at the logistics, okay, each state is, you know, like in California, what's our social distancing shelter at home orders? Those go for another month, I think. It's different in other states. So how can you have a nationwide, what if a California team is told to shelter in place, but a Florida team still hasn't been told to, right? Can the California team travel to Florida? I mean, there's all sorts of logistical issues like this, right? But if you were able to have everyone in one central location where the local authorities approved of this and there was really, really tight control measures. So I don't even know how many people would be allowed to cover it. I don't know that there would really even be much beyond broadcast, right? Like, would there be media? Would we all just watch at home and do press conferences via Zoom. I'm not sure, but I think that's probably the safest way in this short term for sports to come back, is to have one central location. And, you know, it would be an interesting thing for, like, players to be sequestered at, like, I don't know, you could, like, shut down, a 10 different hotel, or, I don't know, 30 different hotels. Each team could have its own team hotel. And, you know, you kind of have to constantly be vigilant and testing. Like, they probably wouldn't be able to see their families even and come in contact with anybody else in their life, because that's the only way you could ensure that things would stay safe. So how many people would sign up for that level of quarantine? But I'm kind of buying it. I kind of think that that's the fastest way to safely bring sports back.
Yeah, and look, even broadcast, like, technically all you need there is the remote cameras. Like, we're at the place technology-wise where I think we can make it all work just remotely. You know, you could have Mike Breen call the games from a studio in New York, you know what I'm saying? And he doesn't even have to be at those games. Like, soccer has been doing that for decades, where they call games off of a monitor. Yeah. Like, it's very possible to do it that way.
Yeah, you can have a lot of cameras there that are just remote operated, you know? I mean, it's the way we're doing radio right now. You're broadcasting from home, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. We have to have one person at the studio to make sure we get on the air. But other than that, they could probably do things, you know, at that level. Although, you know, I don't know what that really looks like or means. I mean, I certainly think you could have team broadcasters if they were part of the team, and they would, you know, people would have to consent to that kind of level of distancing from their family and friends for like a number of months. That would be really hard, right? To be in that kind of bubble. But yeah, that feels like the fastest way. But I think the only way you could even do that is to have testing of everyone beforehand to ensure that there was no one who had it. And now that they have the testing that takes place in 15 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Those tests are being manufactured as we speak. And
yeah,
they're being produced as fast as possible. Like, I think it takes some time for that to come together, but that does feel like the way this eventually, or the quickest way, for sports to come back. I just think we're going to have a larger discussion in the country about what's appropriate. Like, do people, you know, let's get through the next couple of weeks here when, you know, things are expected to peak, and see what the world looks like before we start clamoring for sports again.
Oh, I'm with you. I saw Adam Schefter. Yeah. We played the audio. I saw him on Scott Van Pelt's SportsCenter yesterday, and I was 100,000,000% behind him. Like, he's like, yeah, I mean, I get the distraction of having the draft, but it's this weird dichotomy of the time the draft is going to roll on. If you flip to the news channel, it's going to be like arguably the most deaths we've had, you know, in a week, right? Like, it's just a weird situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even thinking about that with everything I write, everything I do, every call-in. Like, you just have to think about what's going on in the world. And, you know, if people are, what was the prediction yesterday from Dr. Fauci? Like, you could have 1,000 or 2,000 deaths a day. If we have something like that going on in the world, do you really need the distraction of the NFL draft? I mean, I don't know. It just feels really serious. So, you know, as people are making these kinds of plans, you kind of have to have, not just in the back of your mind, but the front of your mind, an awareness of how serious this threat is, and you know, where sports land in the scheme of things.
Real quick before I let you go, did you see the all-time Laker draft that we did, myself, Mason, and Ireland?
Yeah, I've been following this a little bit. I've been following this. This feels like this feels like you are from Miami and see things from a different perspective than John and Steve.
Well, I would just say I'm just a better drafter, clearly, because the audience has voted 60% in my favor with about 5,000 votes on social media.
Interesting. All right. Well, are Mason Ireland, are they tweeting the poll as much as you are?
Oh, yeah. No, I just tweeted it once. Well, here's the thing. Like, and Bergman can confirm this. Bergman can confirm this. They were getting walloped so bad that they tried to do their own poll, like, just between them two.
Wow.
Yeah. Right, Bergman? Wasn't that the case?
Yeah. On Mason and Ireland, they had Lindsay do a poll where it was just Mason versus Ireland. And people were like, where's Kobe? Well, he's on George's team. Where's
George's team, which isn't listed on this thing. Yeah. Yeah. So my strategy was this, Momo, and John and I felt the same way. Clearly, we had a similar strategy. There was enough Laker all-time centers that you didn't have to take them early. You know what I mean? But there weren't as many wing players. So my thing was, I'm like, I'm going to take Kobe first because I feel like if I take Kobe first, I'm still going to get, like, I thought I was going to get Wilt or Shaq coming back. Nowhere in my wildest dreams in the snake draft that I think I was going to get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, arguably one of the greatest player of all time at number six. So based on that alone, I felt like I already won the draft.
Yeah, that's a great point. That is a great drafting strategy. Yeah, that's well, I think what's amazing is just like how many great Lakers there are. Like you don't,
oh my God,
you didn't have to. I mean, you could, like, who are the top three? I would assume Kobe, Magic, and who else?
Well, it was Kobe, Magic, and then the third person taken was Shaq by Mason. Mason, who, by the way, built a team that looked like... Well, look, Mason built a team that looked like the New York Knicks this year. You know, it's like five power forwards. Like, that's Mason's team.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't need to go with Shaq. Like, who did you go with?
So it was Snake. So Mason had two picks. So the next two picks, he had two picks. He took Shaq and Jerry West, and then John started laughing because he said, you took Jerry West over LeBron? And then he's like, oh, no, I forgot LeBron. So John took LeBron, and then I was like, wait a second, Kareem is still available? Give me Kareem. Like, I got Kareem. And then I got on the snake back, I took Anthony Davis. So I'm like,
oh my gosh, I'm
pretty set. You know what I mean? Like, and my team, if you look at it, if you look at it, it's the most balanced team. Like, I've got shooting, I've got passing, I've got ball handling, I've got size, I've got everything.
Yeah. Oh, Mace. So he went Shaq and Jerry West. I think that's like a classic, like, old guy move, right? Like, you got to go, like, let's make sure we get Jerry West in there early. And you're like, wait, did you, I think that was like a Mace has been on the air for 25 years, right? And wanted to like pay homage to like having been here forever.
He said he wanted the logo, but then he clearly realized he forgot LeBron.
Yeah, I think he just forgot.
But this, to John's credit, we were originally going to do like a list of the 30 greatest Lakers and pick from there. But John had the right idea of, no, don't do that because that gives Mason a list to pick from. If we don't do it this way, guaranteed he'll screw it up somewhere.
Yes. He will. He definitely will. Because Mason will prepare, but I do rotisserie drafts with Mace, and he's always in there with, like, I got my own system. I got my own numbers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does.
Okay, Mace,
he
does. What are your own numbers?
So here's the teams. So I had Kobe, Kareem, AD, Lamar, Gail Goodrich, who was a great shooter pre-three-point era, Glenn Rice, Byron Scott, Ron Artest, Derek Fisher, and Vlade was my last pick. I had the last pick in the draft.
Vlade would be good in this era.
Oh my God, he's such a great passer. Yeah, there's no question.
Yeah.
So John took
right there.
Yeah, John took Magic, LeBron, Elgin Baylor, which is really strong. Powell, which is really strong. But then his role players aren't as good as mine. He has Michael Cooper, which is excellent. But then Eddie Jones, Robert Horry, Ron Harper, Adrian Dantley, and Michael Thompson. And again, the caveat here is their Laker career, not just like their all-time career. That's why, like, there's no Karl Malone or anything like that. And then Mace took Shaq, Jerry West, James Worthy. Then he took Wilt at 10. So he took another center who he can't play together with Shaq. Jamal Wilkes. He says Jamal Wilkes going to play guard for him. He's a power forward. Bob McAdoo, another center. AC Green, another power forward. What? Nick Van Exel. Yeah, Nick Van Exel, Trevor Ariza, and Rick Fox.
Okay, wait, so Nick Van Exel is basically the only guard on that team?
And Jerry.
Oh, and Jerry. Okay.
Yes.
Mean, Nick can shoot a little bit. Nick the Quick. Nick can shoot. He's not Rondo type. That's not a Rondo. I mean, he kind of looks like you might think he's a Rondo type, but he actually
No, Nick can shoot. Yeah. Yeah.
You got Seth Sabalos, man. You got to get Seth Sabalos if you're doing Lakers legends there. Because people forget that, like, era right after Magic, but, like, Seth Sabalos and Nick Quick were the guy.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get to Shed because he wasn't in our 30. He's probably just outside that top 30. So the next thing we're doing. Yeah. So the next thing we're doing is I'm going on Mason and Ireland's show. Is it today, Greg, or tomorrow?
It's supposed to be today. You guys are going to try and do trades.
No, but trades. They want to do trades, Momo. This is ridiculous. The reason they want to do trades is because John wants to pilfer Wilt from Mason's team. That seems very obvious.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, And what's interesting with Wilt, okay, is like how does his game translate to the modern NBA era? Like, how would we? Who's coaching? Like, do you guys do coaches?
No, we didn't do coaches. But here's what I would say about Wilt is that, you know, and this is something Phil said in his book, you know, that when he compared Wilt and Shaq, right? He said that Wilt was more athletic than Shaq and had way better endurance. They had similar bounce. I think that he gave Shaq the nod on one thing, but he basically, without saying it, said Wilt was the better player.
Mm. Yeah, I think Wilt probably was just, but like, it's so hard to compare different eras, you know, like I grew up watching Shaq. So like, to me, Shaq was like the most dominant force right. I've ever seen, but I'm sure people who grew up watching Wilt would say that about Wilt, right? Neither of them could, you know, were shooters though, right? Like neither of them would be like stretch five.
No, absolutely not. They can't play together. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, you definitely can't have Mike D'Antoni as your coach. You probably have to, you know, like a, you got to have like, who would be the right coach for that? Maybe, you know what? Maybe I would have Phil coach Mason's team because he likes big men. He would figure out how to play with those guys.
Yeah.
And then I would have Riley coach. I would have Riley coach John's team. Okay, because like he's got Magic, so like that would fit, right?
Yeah.
And then who would we have coach your team?
I mean, you could have really anybody coach my team because it's so balanced. Like I'm ready to like Momo. If you want to put it out, I know you broke news today on the Dodgers. If you want to break news that I'm available as a general manager for any team that wants to hire a new general manager, I'm available.
Okay, but see, I think you have some coaching issues because how are you going to get Kobe and Kareem to coexist?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like, you know, Kareem can't be harder to coexist with than Shaq, right?
I don't know. I mean, it took, like, Phil to really, like, coax the best out of Kobe and Shaq and keep the peace. I mean, you might need, like, Brian Shaw just as an assistant coach.
As an assistant,
just to, like,
yeah.
So they don't, yeah.
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 Can I go? Can I go
work on a coaching front? You have chemistry issues.
I mean, Rudy T. I mean, I could get Rudy T. I mean, he, Rudy T. has coached big men.
That didn't work out. That didn't work out though.
No, I know. I mean, but there's only so many coaches that actually worked out. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because right now, I mean, you got Phil and Riles, but like, who are your other?
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, I think Riley would also want to coach Kareem. I think there'd be a bidding war for Riley.
Actually, you know what? I would, if I were you, I would grab Riles and I would send D'Antoni over to John's team because D'Antoni can coach anybody, right? He's got LeBron.
Right.
He's got, he's got that kind of team.
There you go.
Yeah. You send D'Antoni over there.
There you go. Mama Momo, thank you for coming on. Thank you for breaking news. Thank you for the good news. Stay safe. We love you. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jordy.
See ya. There she is, Mama Momo with us here. All right. Coming up next, Dave McMiniman is going to join us. We're going to talk to him. ESPN Radio here on ESPN 710 has been presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests like Mama Momo appear via the Shell Penzoil Performance Line, and she's been giving us the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. So Dave McMiniman has a report on the Lakers and their quarantine. We'll talk to Dave about it next. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Ramona Shelburne for joining us earlier. This segment brought to you by My Computer Career. Training for a better life. If you missed any one of our interviews, whether it was Ramona or any of the stuff we've had over the last couple of weeks, Gilbert Arenas, you know, Brian Windhorst has been on. We had Mick Cronin, who was excellent yesterday. You can check out our entire interview on demand in the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app or wherever you find your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. Brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? Dave McMiniman joins us now, ESPN NBA insider, Lakers insider. McMiniman, before I get into your report on the Lakers, what are you doing? First of all, I would imagine and hope that you're safe and sound and you and yours are safe and sound. But what are you actually doing at right now, like while you're not covering basketball?
Yeah, everyone's safe and sound. Thank you for that. I wish the same for you and yours. You kind of go through waves. There was the I'm going to catch up on some shows wave. So I know what people are talking about when I see tweets about Love is Blind and Joe Exotic. but that can only take you so far. then I got to, oh, cooking can be kind of fun, and, you know, kind of went to a grocery store, a local grocery store, picked up, like, all sorts of different types. Like, I got steak and salmon and ground beef and chicken. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try a bunch of recipes. But that only takes you through a couple of days, too. And so now I'm in, like, the let's boldly go where no man has gone before, like, full bathroom cleaning, wearing the rubber gloves and down on your knees and, like, scrubbing the bottom of the tub floor that probably should happen far more often but doesn't when I'm on the road all the time. And going to crack the spine on some books. So next week, maybe trying a new musical instrument. Who knows? But I'm just trying to do anything to keep my mind off the fact that I'm really missing the NBA.
Yeah, I hear you. And let's talk about that. You had a report yesterday for those that didn't get a chance to see it. What was the report on the Lakers and their quarantine?
Yeah, obviously, just about 2 weeks ago, the Lakers players went through testing after the Brooklyn Nets had four players test positive for COVID-19. Two players, yet to be named, came up positive to Lakers. They had a team mandate. Everybody self-isolate for 2 weeks. The players that did test positive received medical attention under the supervision of the Lakers for that time period. And as of yesterday, the team says that no one is showing any symptoms. Now, that does beg the question, were they retested? And quite frankly, we don't have an answer as what the Lakers did. Now, the Nets, obviously, they were the team that precipitated the Lakers going through the test in the first place. Their GM, Sean Marks, today updated his players. He said all of his players are also symptom-free. When he was asked whether they retested, he said no. And so perhaps that is kind of becoming the industry standard for the league. Obviously, there was a lot of public backlash for NBA teams so readily being able to access tests when the rest of the nation was having a hard time doing so. It seems to me, based on the information we have now, that perhaps the Lakers didn't retest, which does beg the question of, do we really know if their guys are totally safe? Because as we know, as we follow this pandemic, many people can be asymptomatic but still be a carrier of the disease.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's why this notion, and we were just talking about it, Ramona and Brian was on with us in the last couple of days, this notion of playing in this, you know, bubble, basically, for lack of a better term, if they were to do that they would have to constantly be testing players, if they would even get players to agree to do something like that and the Players Association to agree to do something like that. I'm sure that many, you've talked to enough people about that idea. What is the what are the returns on that idea from people you've spoken to around the league as far as their willingness to do something like that if it comes to it?
You know, almost to a man, the people I've spoken to, and, you know, this is agents, players, coaches, front office members, they want to find a way to salvage the season. And I think that's the underbelly that you need to have some progress here. But when it comes down to it, the nitty-gritty, and Brian Windhorst has done a really good job of kind of illustrating this. If the owners choose to enact the, you know, act of God part of the collective bargaining agreement to withhold some of the salaries of the players, will the players be then willing to, when it comes down to the wire here, in essence, perhaps sign a waiver that they wouldn't sue the league if they ended up with a major health complication stemming from the coronavirus should they go back to the court, because they want the greater good of the NBA to succeed? That could be a tough proposition. And so I think the owners have to be really careful here. Should they decide to withhold some of the player salaries, if they hope to get the players to maybe stick their neck out a little bit later on down in the process to do whatever it would take to play the game, whether that be agreeing to rigorous testing, whether that be agreeing to staying at a neutral site Obviously, LeBron James had Richard Jefferson bring up that scenario to him last week and summarily rejected the idea of being quarantined to an NBA-approved hotel for the duration of the playoffs. So, just because guys want to have this thing happen, as we actually talk about the details of it, I think there's many, many, many more hurdles to be cleared before we can realistically talk about the NBA resuming play.
You know, it's interesting. Bobby Marks brought this up yesterday to me, Dave, and Dave McMiniman joining us here on 710 ESPN, is that he kind of brought up your point about the owners need to be careful, that if this, but he brought it up this way in regards to free agency, right? Like he used Giannis as an example, right? Let's say, the Bucks vote to enact the Act of God Act in their contracts, and let's say the Lakers or the Mavericks or the Knicks don't, right? And those owners can be like, well, oop, we lost him. We can bring him back whenever he's ready. How about we do this? Let's take a quick break and then bring Dave back. Let's do that. Let's take a quick break because this is a short break anyway. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Oh, he's back? Okay, cool. Dave, I don't know what the last part of what I said that you actually heard, but basically Bobby Marks said that he thinks, like, he brought up the point of what if a free agent, because we were talking about free agency and what it means for these contracts depending on what happens, and when we were talking about the owners, he's like, yo, what if this comes to a vote and we publicly know who voted for what to enact the Act of God Act here in these contracts, and like, let's say the Bucks, for example, said, yeah, we want to save the money. And the Lakers, for example, didn't. Like, how that would affect the player's psyche in those situations. Like, I think that this, for the owners, to your point, has a potential for a real spiral for them. I actually think they're better off just avoiding it at this point.
I kind of agree with you because, look at kind of the one team that decided to be ahead of things in trying to roll back salaries of employees in the Philadelphia 76ers. And Joel Embiid stepped right up, donates $500,000, and in a way shamed the franchise into stepping away from that measure. And you don't think that every single person in the league was paying attention to that move by the Sixers, including agents, including free agents to be? As they assess what type of people are running that team? Because, the formula for success in the NBA, obviously you need talent, but you need an ownership that is in concert with the front office and the coaching staff. And bad owners they basically never win. We've learned that over the years.
Yep.
And so, absolutely, this is a time for not necessarily owners to make any positive progress, but I don't know if a player is like, I'm going to go play for that team because the ownership is providing free meals for their employees. But they could certainly take a negative away from the actions of how NBA owners are choosing to react to this time.
Yeah, and it could have a trickle-down effect in a number of different ways, as you've illustrated and we discussed there. Like, yeah, it is fascinating. It's going to be an interesting kind of social experiment to see how this goes. But then you have the dichotomy of the NFL going business as usual, and it's kind of like, whoa. You know what I mean? Like, I get that we need the distraction, but it's like, oof. Like, it is conflicting, right? Like, I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah, I think the NFL is benefiting from a different time frame than the NBA.
They're not pausing
things at the moment. Now, the NFL draft is the big question mark for us. Right? When you see something like, I think earlier today, Wimbledon was canceled, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And that's, something that has a summer date. And then you look at an NFL draft date that's set for late April, has to give there. And I think the NFL is going to have some very real discussions pretty soon. Now, NFL, to their credit, as someone who works for a sports media company, is just a sports junkie, I love that they've treated it like business like usual in terms of the transaction market, because
right,
it allowed us to, like, you know, feel like our life was kind of normal and discuss things like Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers in a total bubble and not discussing any other, you know, mention of coronavirus when we have that conversation.
Yeah, again, totally conflicting because we want the content, we want the escape. I get it. Like it is an interesting time, certainly. And yes, I think that ultimately, you could do the free agency and the transaction stuff because again, that stuff could, like no one was truly affected in that sense. At least as far as physical contact and things of that nature, like the way they were able to conduct their business, they were able to do it in a safe fashion. So I think that that certainly, as you pointed out, it not only helped the psyche, but just kept everyone safe too on top of that.
Absolutely.
Real quick before I let you go, got a couple of quick things. If you were voting for MVP right now, because for all intents and purposes, even if they come back to finish the regular season, it's probably going to be an abbreviated version of that anyway. Who would you vote your top three MVP right now?
Yeah, Tim Bontemps did a straw poll of this shortly into the hiatus. And Matt Velasquez, who's a Bucks beat writer, did a straw poll shortly before the hiatus. I had the same answer to both of them. I have a tie between Giannis and LeBron, and I wanted to see whatever the final stretch of games would be to determine it. Now, if we don't get any more games, then I'll change my answer and pick one of them. But I'm reserving my first place vote until I get that final stretch. Third place, I probably James Harden, but obviously, you know, Russell Westbrook was so important in his play in the Rockets turn their season around. So I'd probably think more about that. I don't think I'd go to Jokic. I don't think I'd go Jason Tatum. You know, Lillard has huge numbers. Luka was so good for the first stretch of the year. And then,
do you want to know who I voted in Bontemps' straw poll three?
Yeah, please.
Chris Paul.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, his fourth quarter numbers are incredible. And yeah, I mean, they've been one of the surprise teams of the year, along with the Raptors probably. Those are the two biggest surprises. So I don't hate it. I don't.
Yeah. I went LeBron Giannis 1-2.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. And I just, they were a 33 win team in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to be, you know, they could have home court advantage, you know? So it's like, to me, that made me, and he looks like Chris Paul again. Right. So I felt like that was kind of the move. So, well, listen, I got a roll here. Did you get a chance to see on social media, myself, Mason, and Ireland's all time Laker draft?
I did. And I liked your team. I thought you had really good value. I think you took Meta World Peace around like 25, if I'm not mistaken.
Dude, I took Kareem at 6. Get out of here. That's a that's insane.
Yeah, Kareem's huge too.
Yeah.
I think like I didn't do a full, you know, dig down all three rosters, but you took Kobe too, right?
I had Kobe, yes. That was my strategy, take Kobe 1 because there's enough centers, right, and not enough wing players. So I'm like, let me take Kobe 1.
And did you have Lamar on your team too?
I did. I had Lamar on my team.
Yeah, I liked your team. From my quick glance at things, I think you had the strongest squad.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, coming from Lakers insider Dave McMiniman, I feel like that officially makes me the winner now. All right, suck that. Okay. Yeah, stick that in your pipe, Mason in Ireland. All right, man. Thank you for stopping by. Stay safe. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, man.
See ya. Coming up next, just because we're dealing with a pandemic doesn't mean that Laker and LeBron trolls still aren't out there. We'll tell you who, what, and why next.